Good morning. Welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services. I'm Trent Hasten from the Roby family of companies. We are your host Sunday 9 a.m. WBT.
I'm a ball of energy.
Trent is
I'm back. Y'all thought y'all got rid of me?
He's in level 5
I'm
berserker
back.
Mode.
Patrick said, channel that energy to the radio, please.
He was in my ear for the last 2 hours.
Yeah, in the car. That's what you
Excitement.
Get.
Excitement. That's good.
How you think Reagan feels?
on your, like, 16-hour car trips?
When she has to tell me that I hurt her feelings because we go on these business excursions for a couple of days and I get so geeked up on life and people and energy and what the radio show does. And then she's like, you kind of ignored me for a couple of days. I'm like, wow, that's the last thing I ever want to do, number one.
I get that
but
sometimes,
I get so
too.
Excited.
No, I understand. Jody will say, like, you know, I'll do the same thing for, maybe not for, you know, 2 whole days.
but I'm talking about, like, 7 days.
For, like, an extended period of time. And she'll be like, aren't you going to ask me how my day was? Yeah. And I'm like, oh, man, sorry.
Yeah. I'm like, baby, I'm your biggest fan, and you're my role dog. You're my partner and everything I could ever dream about. That's the last thing I want to do is make you feel like you've been ignored.
Well, then I'll throw this back at her. I'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. Am I being selfish? Let's do all the things that you want to do.
Oh, is that what you're supposed to say?
No, that doesn't help.
That's how you get more trouble?
That's like throwing gas on the fire.
I'm trying to go the opposite way. I want to build out of trouble.
Maybe I need to take that approach.
So I picked this up. I might have said this on the radio before. I picked this up on one of our YPO trips, had a person come talk about mental state and stuff. And it said meditate, whether you're a religious person or faith-based or whatever, but meditate in prayer or whatever your faith is or isn't.
Right.
On a subject for 10 minutes a day. I don't do it regularly enough, but let's say I got a piece of paper. It's got in 4 corners. It has me, my business, my family, and my wife. And I don't do the greatest job of it, but it's in my drawer, my little personal drawer where I put my wallet and stuff. In the drawer, I see that, and it makes me try to sit down and think like Reagan. And I just sit down with no agenda and try to go to Reagan. And see what man, the things you think about, how much better of a man you become. I got to start doing it.
You said it. But when you think about it, like 10 minutes in today's world is an eternity. I mean, think about it. I mean, everything's such a now. You got your phone in your hand all the time. I mean, you can literally sort through probably 1,000 pieces of information in 10 minutes.
Yep.
And then just to sit still for 10 minutes is not easy.
I'm going to give a plug. I get a news update on my email. I've been getting this for about a year. I think it's since it started. Axios, do you get that?
Yeah.
They're partners with WBT, so I'm giving a plug. But it's like it'll tell you, it's like 800 words, 2-3 minute read. And man.
It used to be.
Get that, and then my business journal updates.
The business journal updates are great.
I'm in the know.
What is Axios was something else before Axios. It just changed names recently. It was TJ, help me out here.
Creative Loafing.
I think it was Charlotte Agenda.
Oh,
Charlotte Agenda. That's what it was.
Do you read that, TJ?
I read everything.
You are astute.
I try.
Man,
I don't remember anything.
You got a radio voice. I'll give you that.
Oh, thank you.
Hello, TJ.
It's because I'm whispering in your ear, Trent.
You are.
He's a dadgum genius,
Deep
folks.
Thoughts.
TJ.
TJ. Hey, so funny thing is, we're riding down, I'm driving, and I asked Patrick to send a text for me, and he said, do you not ever do voice text? I'm like, man.
I changed your life.
Have you heard me talk? My thing don't.
Yeah, it doesn't pick you up at all. Because it doesn't pick me up sometimes. I know it doesn't pick
I'm
you up.
I'm in trouble.
It doesn't recognize your voice?
It doesn't. No. It doesn't.
Talk to text is like the greatest thing ever invented. I mean,
you're proper sounding.
Multitasking is
I'm improper sounding.
And you shouldn't multitask and drive, they say, but this is one way that you can do that. And you could even I've gotten to the point now where I can get, I'm going AI, man. I can get Siri to do a text
That's
for
good.
Me. I'm going to have to type your name
I can't change my voice. I've tried to clean it up. It doesn't work.
What country are you in? They thought you were French?
I was in London. They thought I was from the country in London. or Europe. Well, I don't know. I'm going to stop.
I'm from the West Side.
I will say I do have a mustache now.
Yeah, I know. I've been asking you about what fire you've been putting out all afternoon.
So you think I look like a fireman? Piper got on this kick about 4 years ago. I'll tell this story to the world. 4 years ago, we had an 80s party on a trip, and I had a white suit with the big butterfly collar, and I shaved my beard and had my mustache. And I liked it because my father growing up always had a mustache. I think it was about – I'm 44 – my dad, when he was 44, I would have been 14. I think me and my buddies talked him into turning his mustache that he had my whole life for 14 years into a goatee. So the rest of his life, he always had a goatee. So I've always kind of, you get older and I'm thinking about my father and I've always wanted a mustache. So I saved my mustache and everybody kept telling me it looked cool. I kept telling my wife, I'm like, Reagan, everybody likes my mustache. I'm going to keep it. She's like, they're mocking you. They're laughing at you, Trent. They don't think it's cool. They're just telling you that because it's so funny. She's like, you're already crazy enough. You don't need something to make you more silly. So Piper got on this kick because a goose on Top Gun, the kids are in the Top Gun. Piper is the salesman of our children. So she gets on last week and gets on this kick about me shaving my mustache. She wants me to have it. I think it's I'm very fond of it because of my father.
Well, she wants you to go pencil thin, right, where you get the little curl at the end?
Nah.
There's a good Jimmy Buffett song. Nah, I wish I had a pencil thin mustache.
I don't want to. I'm not going to be a cornball.
You get like a spectacle on top of that?
I'm just going to have a mustache. TJ's got a bad to the bone mustache. Wow. I want to grow it out. I cut it a little. I want it a little longer on the sides. That's good. You got handlebars. TJ, I'm going to jump and ride you like a Harley. Yeah, on them handlebars. All right.
Got weird.
That didn't come out right. No. That was a little weird. I'm sorry.
All right, so our guest.
Hope you're having a wonderful Sunday morning.
Yeah, we have Andy Price, partner at Carolina Drywall Supply, Trent.
And we're in a good mood. Thank you for listening to the At Home with Roby. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services. I'm Trent Hasten from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the first segment, we are pumped up, excited here at the At Home with Roby show on Sunday morning.
If you're not smiling, I have failed. We have not succeeded.
And we talked about, Trent has talked about your stash, bro.
Goose.
Well, the funniest part is when you were telling this story earlier, you were saying, yeah, you know, like Moose from Top Gun.
Yeah.
I was like, no, man, it's Goose.
Why didn't you help me out?
I tried to.
You didn't.
Get like Goose.
You stopped me.
Fly, Moose, you know, that run on the ground kind of thing. Anyways, we have a guest on the line, Trent. It is Andy Price. Andy, you out there?
Hey, guys.
Andy, I was with your friend Mason Petty. I guess you're from Alabama. And he told me, the last thing he told me when I left him this morning was, you're a bigger redneck than me.
Yeah, Mason's a good buddy. We grew up together in Tuscaloosa. Grew up playing soccer together. And believe it or not, I moved away. My dad was in the coal business, moved to Virginia. And about 20-something years later, we run into each other in Charlotte on the driving range. And, you know, like we never missed a beat. Pretty crazy story.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow, that is an awesome story.
What part of Virginia did you move to?
So I grew up in, after I left Tuscaloosa, in Tazewell, Virginia. It's about 20 miles south of the West Virginia border on the Virginia side.
Got it. Okay, so you're kind of near like Virginia Tech, Blacksburg. Is that kind of close by?
Yeah, a lot of the guys I graduated with went to Virginia Tech. Of course, I went home back to Alabama to school. But Tech's about a hour and 20-minute drive through the up 460. Beautiful drive.
Yeah, it's a beautiful part of the country for sure. We won't hold that Alabama thing against you. We were talking about, you know, Mason was carrying around an Alabama koozie cup when we saw him earlier. So, you know, you guys got that big red A. You know, it really stands out there.
Patrick's a Clemson guy.
Yeah, I'm not a huge.
It's been very expensive to be an Alabama fan since Saban came over.
That's a good thing, though, right? Like, that's money that you like to spend if you're a fan. No, I am a Clemson fan. You guys, you know, beat us up pretty good. We got you a couple times, but yeah, Alabama. I think pretty much anybody that's not an Alabama fan doesn't like Alabama at this point.
I actually played intramural basketball game against Dabo when he was a grad assistant. Oh, yeah. Little nugget.
Did you knock him down? Like a little midget, yeah. Isn't he? Nah, I'm kidding.
He's not very big. Of course, I know. It's not like I'm huge either.
Me neither, dog. My 11-year-old that taught me in the cut my mustache told me. She tells me all the time she's about to pass me in height.
Right.
I'm like, come on. She's like, yeah, it's gonna be bad when you gotta look up to me. I'm like, oh, really? So, we've never met in person, man. That's cool. Tell me about your business.
Well, so I've been in the drywall side of the business in construction since 1999. I started with Georgia Pacific as a manufacturer's rep. Believe it or not, it was after the allocation, which is kind of what we're in right now, and put my tool belt on after I got laid off after a year and went to work for a drywall sub, a couple of them, and then got my job back with GP, and then spent most of my career as the metal stud manufacturer's rep for a company called Clark Dietrich. They're the largest in the country. And then after 13, 15 years stint with them, got into distribution with Builders First Source. They bought ProBuild, which had a lot of drywall yards. And then me and my friend, partner that worked together, Clark Dietrich, decided to venture out, start our own thing. We always wanted our own business. And COVID got in the way like it did with everybody, and was fortunate enough to find a investor in the industry. And so we've been a startup for 6 months in the drywall distribution business.
Oh, wow.
So we supply metal studs, drywall insulation, acoustical ceilings. We have a little bit of a niche business because we're producing our own metal studs locally in-house.
Completely vertically integrated.
So, really?
Yes.
In Charlotte?
In Charlotte, yeah. Yep, we're down off of Westinghouse Boulevard, kind of near Carowinds. You can see Carowinds out my back window. So, yeah, we've got a couple lines we're running, produce about 30,000 feet, 40,000 feet a day. So we're up and running. So it's been good.
What is it like, a piece of metal extruding equipment? Is that what it is? You run metal through it?
No, it's a cold form steel, so metal studs that go between the walls.
Wow.
So you've got your metal studs, then your insulation, then your drywall.
Yeah, I know what metal studs are. I was just wondering how you make them. That is interesting.
They're roll formed.
Roll formed.
So
got it.
So it comes out like in a slit, and then as it proceeds through the machine, it rolls and takes its shape, and then it punches and cuts it to length.
That is awesome. So 6 months in, Is it fun or is it hard? Or both?
Oh, yeah, being part of an ownership of your own business is very tough. You know, there's nobody to turn to except yourself, so you got to figure it out. But it's been fun. You know, the drywall allocation definitely has left some sleepless nights trying to find drywall.
Mm.
But we're slowly getting there.
Talk a little bit about that. I think, you know, most people, Andy, that come and talk to me about the construction industry that aren't in the industry, which a lot of our listeners probably are not, are always interested in the supply mm-hmm. chain issues that we're facing. And so, you know, we understand allocation a little bit, but maybe give us sort of a high-level view of what that means and what challenges that causes and creates.
Yeah, well, obviously, a long story short is there's obviously too much demand for the supply that's available. The biggest problem, at least from my perspective in the drywall industry, is, you know, all these new drywall plants were built in the 90s and early 2000s with the assumption of you can get synthetic gypsum from the gas coming off the steam for the coal-fired plants. And then as time went by and, you know, different administrations came and go, the EPA came in and, of course, started shutting down all the coal-fired plants. So all these plants were built on the premise that they could get synthetic gypsum. So over time, this has all kind of, you know, created the perfect storm. So they're having to go back to mine gypsum, which is a rock. And so as COVID hit and the demand picked up and, you know, all that stuff, it's just caused a major issues. And then you throw in now the high cost of diesel. And it's driven the price way up. But at the end of the day, it's just there's enough business out there based on the supply of the actual product. And it's worse allocation than I can remember, even back in 1999.
Wow. That's pretty educational.
Yeah. No, that is good. That is helpful. I mean, so I mean, how do they decide? I mean, can you kind of go through that process?
Say it again?
Like, how did we determine who gets what?
They basically go on your last year's purchases. So for me, as a startup, I only had really a two-month history, which was very limited even in that. And so luckily you have relationships you've built over the years, even though I wasn't technically buying from the manufacturers at that point. And I'm a member of a buy group called Affiliated Distributors. And what that means is they take all the mom-and-pop distributors throughout the country, form a group, and then that way your buying power gets a lot larger to compete with the three or four larger gypsum supply companies in the country.
Wow.
So that helps out.
Now he's talking.
And I just became a member of that July 1st.
So that's good. Now I'm very familiar with buying groups. I mean, I think that you see a lot of independence in any of the industries that serve, whether it's the construction industry or really any industry in general. I mean, it makes sense, right? I mean, stick together with some of the guys, become better together kind of deal.
Exactly. There's been a lot of consolidation in the drywall distribution business over the years. Some guys have sold out, private equity's taken over. Roofing company got in the drywall business and started buying a lot of people up. In the Carolinas in particular, just about everybody's been consolidated. So the mom and pops or the independents are starting to kind of hopefully come back to get that little local feel instead of dealing with just, you know, massive corporations that are out there. So it's been a challenge, but at the same time, you know, a lot of positive feedback and a lot of good conversations with customers. So it's nice.
Andy,
I got
a couple questions for you, but we're going to cut to break, pay some bills. Will you stick around for another segment with us?
Sure.
All right. You're listening to At Home with Roby. We'll be back.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services, along with Trent Hasten from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. If you missed the last couple segments, go back. You can always get our podcast. I think you can just Google At Home with Roby, and Trent will show up, not with his mustache. I don't know if we have an updated photo.
We need an updated picture.
We're going to need an updated photo with the stash in place for Trent. But, Trent, we got Andy Price from Carolina Drywall Supply. If you missed last segment, very educational. He's talking about allocations and what's going on with supply chain in the construction industry. And it's really affecting everybody in a unique way. And you and I are kind of talking during the break. And Andy, are you having the same issue with metals that you are with your raw products there as well as the drywall?
Yeah, metal was a very big issue 6 to 8, 10 months ago. It got real bad. Metal lead times were getting out anywhere from 8 to 14 weeks. In normal times, that usually is about a 3 days to, let's say, a week and a half lead time. So it caused such a crunch. In the last probably 2 or 3 months, lead times have obviously came down a decent amount. Depending on what product you need, you're still looking at probably 1 to 3 weeks lead time. The mills are roughly running 6 to 10 weeks out. So just depending on what you need, it's definitely not as hard as it was 6 to 8 months ago, but still a challenge for sure.
Do you think it's attributed to the input of the commodities, or do you think it's attributed to the shortage of labor, or both?
I think from the steel side, I think it stems from a lot of consolidation in the domestic steel production.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not an economist about all the tariffs that happen, all that good stuff, but there was some consolidation domestically, and I think that shored up a lot of the production, and they controlled it. And then again, you know, throw COVID in, and that threw, you know, basically, in my opinion, the construction industry a year and a half ago, when basically the world stopped, construction never really stopped.
Right.
And when from the manufacturing side, a lot of those plants went down due to COVID, but the actual field work kept going, and so it just had this huge pent-up demand. And it was just brutal. But it's starting to unwind quite a bit.
That's wonderful news. I think the pricing will come level out. I don't know. People always ask me if I think pricing is going to come down off of the inflation. I think inflation is going to level out and stop climbing, inflation is prices well, going up.
Yeah, I mean, to the same token, it's like, I mean, there's been some concern with oversaturation of product because of the hysteria over the last couple of years. Yeah, of we'll just keep making it. Make more. We can make double. Do double. Can you take double? I'll order double. I'll only order triple. Let me get ahead of this. So you wonder if there's going to be, to help offset some of that inflation, is just the oversaturation of product.
Well, I think, too, metal manufacturers and such like that, Brian Ferris and stuff, these OEMs, you know, companies like John Deere and stuff, I think they build up their inventory so much because they were forced to. And now they're still producing product, but they're like, okay, let's work down
let's
some of the inventory, which I think will slow the demand on the commodity side and the metals and such. And I just think it'll help even it out. But I tell people, my opinion is, I don't know if we're not going to have depreciation in pricing, but I think higher prices are here to stay, but I think the climb is going to slow down tremendously for those reasons. That's my trend opinion. What do you think, Andy?
I totally agree. I mean, you know, we were selling product for, let's say, 30 cents a foot. It went all the way up to a dollar. It's going to come down some for sure, but it's like getting used to $3 gas.
Yeah.
You know, once you hit that threshold, everybody kind of gets used to it. I think that's kind of where we're headed. I don't think you ever see the prices where they went. But I think they're definitely going to at least level out and hopefully keep the spikes from happening. That's where people really get hurt, is when it really spikes and then it just falls off a cliff.
Yeah.
If we could level that out, a lot of people would quit getting hurt. And that's kind of the problem. It's just been too high and too low too fast.
So I got a question for you. Do you still install drywall and metal studs?
No. That was a small stint in, I think, 2001. Speaking of Clemson University, I actually installed some product in Clemson University. There you go.
I was there in 2001. Man, we could have hung out.
That was a field experience that I respect the guys out in the field because I wasn't too cut out for it. But it was a great learning experience.
What were you doing down there again? I know you told me that, but I remember, for the university itself?
Yeah. You know, I don't remember the building, but I do remember installing shaft wall. And if anybody's ever picked up a piece of 1-inch thick, 10-foot or 12-foot shaft wall material, you better have a little muscle behind you, and I'm really not that guy. It killed me.
Well, I grew up, we were primarily custom residential, and I grew up toting a lot of drywall, and we did wood studs back then. The crazy thing is now we have a commercial company, which Patrick runs, Commercial Construction, and we still have our original Andrew Roby custom residential business. One's wood, one's metal. Wood guys and metal guys don't understand each other. I don't understand it.
It is amazing.
Isn't that
There's
weird?
There's a difference between a framer and a carpenter, and they do not jive.
Well, it's the same in most of the other. I mean, you're talking about HVAC is the same, right? You got flexible duct and you got 10 installers, and then you also, the same way with plumbing, right? You've got plastic.
But I don't get it. I mean, putting a metal stud up is just like putting a wood stud up, except it's metal, and you screw it and you don't nail it. I mean, I don't get it. But they think. Bo Turner was a great guy, helped us start our commercial company, and you say wood stud to him, I think he'd start crying. I love you, Bo. But, I mean, really.
Well, we do some wood stud work on our commercial side, but you're right. That's typically where the lines draw, but this kind of reminds me, I always tell people, do you know what, if you ask any tradesperson, what is the most difficult trade to get into and what is the most difficult trade to perfect, what trade do they answer? The one that they do. So, every time. I love it. I think
they have tried to answer it.
They have that passion. But yes, a wood stud guy, like, hey, is wood stud harder than metal stud? Oh, yeah. Definitely the way. But you ever notice that, Andy? And that's just the way it works, I guess.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, no, man. So talk about, tell us a little about yourself. I mean, are you married, children, and that kind of thing? You have a family around?
I do. I've got a wife. We've been married now 6 years, actually a couple of days ago was our anniversary.
Wow, congratulations.
There you go, man.
We call it the secret anniversary because we actually got married at the courthouse and then got married 2 months later down in Kiowa. So
we share that. I got married at the courthouse also, then a couple of weeks later got married in Cabo. But, yeah, definitely had the courthouse wedding also. So that's an experience.
Yeah, so I've got two children of my own. She has two children of her own.
Awesome.
So I've got a senior in high school, stepchild that will be a junior, stepchild will be a freshman, and then my son will be in fifth grade.
Man, I hear you.
That's awesome. They're going to get into the drywall game.
That's what I keep telling my daughter. She laughs at me. The funny joke is, you know, being from Alabama, we used to always say, hey, we're from L.A., lower Alabama. My actual wife is actually from L.A., the real L.A., California.
Oh, man.
Kind of funny.
Two people from L.A. falling
That
love.
Is funny. I got a question for you, Andy. Tell me a little bit about growing up with Dad working in the coal industry.
Oh, yeah.
Well, believe it or not, I used to go with him on Saturdays to the mines, and I think OSHA would probably have a cow nowadays. Yep. But I remember going to the mines and getting up in the big front-end loaders with a guy's name, believe it or not, I remember his name was Gerald. And he would sit me in his lap in the big front-end loader, and he would go and, you know, grab the coal and take it from point A to point B. The only thing that you couldn't do for sure was you couldn't go down in the mine until you were 18. So after my senior in high school, before I went to Bama, I actually worked with a company my dad, a friend of my dad's, and got to go into mines that summer. Made a ton of money because of the dangerous, you know, the work's pretty dangerous. So I was making like $16, $17 an hour.
Goodness gracious.
1993.
Holy smokes.
I was making $425.
So I got a lot of beer money that summer.
Wow. Man, that is, I'm so intrigued. I, you know, grew up in the construction world. I love heavy equipment. My kids are enamored by it. I love mines. I love rocks. My dad, he heated the house originally with the wood stove in our basement, and he always had a pile of coal across the street, and I would go out there and play with the coal and that. I mean, it wasn't that long. I was really young, but for years and years after he changed it over to a normal heating system, I think it was because funds were a little tight when he built our house. We always had that pile of coal, and I would always think about it turning into diamonds, and, you know, coal pressure turns into diamonds.
I think it should be demanded that every American go to a coal mine.
Amen.
And just go down to the shaft and get in a 36-inch shaft and, a seam of coal, and you'll change your perspective a little bit about what really goes on in this world. I can tell you that.
Dude, I can't wait to hang out and talk more about this. That is intriguing. And I love the drywall and the stud business myself, if you call them that. Metal studs? Ha!
That's why those guys in West Virginia and, you know, parts of Pennsylvania that you always hear about, they're pretty passionate people. It's a tough group of people. They got a hard living.
Well, Andy, I'm going to come down there and visit your place. Well, give yourself a plug so people can look you up.
Sure. So, again, it's Carolina Drywall Supply. We're off of Wilmar Boulevard in Charlotte, down there, Carowinds, the last exit, Westinghouse Boulevard. Phone number 704-970-3040. We do have a website, CarolinaDrywallSupply.com. Give us a shout, and we'd love to help you out during these tough times we're in.
Dude, what a wonderful show. Godspeed to your business. 6 months and going strong.
Have them back.
What a great story. I can't wait to hang out with you. Thanks for being here, Andy.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, we'll be back. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services. I'm Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts.
I love how he says, we are your hosts. Man, how interesting was that?
That was pretty good.
Dude, I even got to talk a little bit about the coal industry.
No, that is an interesting business. Talking about people that really, I mean, not only do you work hard, but it's probably the most dangerous job in them that you can have.
Dude.
Just salt of the earth people.
Like he said, those people are passionate. I mean,
yes,
it's crazy. That's their livelihood and their life.
And this is Andy Price that we had on the show from Carolina
Drywall and Supply. Down on Wilmar Boulevard, down he can look out, see Carowinds out his window.
Yeah, I mean, the entrepreneur.
Wonder what roller
months?
Coaster he looks at the most.
I can't believe we didn't ask him. Why did we not ask him that?
I mean, I want to know.
Is it Fury?
So I went. So Rowan went to Carowinds Sunday with some friends. Rowan's now about to be turned 13. Oh, wow, I'm going to have two teenagers. And I went and picked her up. And Tatum went with me. And we were on Carowinds Boulevard coming the back way. And the water slide lines, this is at 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. The water slide lines were all the way to the ground. The stairs that zigzag back and forth. Oh, it looked so miserable. It looked terrible. And she said, God, look how long the lines are. So we go pit rolling up, and she rode a bunch of roller coasters. She's at that age where they just go crazy on roller coasters. And we go pick her up. I said, how long were the lines? And she said, oh, not long at all on the roller coasters. It was so weird. The water park was so slammed, and the roller coaster lines were not bad.
I guess it's so hot. I mean, that's the only thing that makes any
sense. Oh, wow, man, I didn't think about that. I didn't. So I was telling you this story. We were fortunate enough, I'm on a planning committee. We went to Big Cedar.
Yeah.
That is a resort in Missouri that Johnny Morris, the founder of Bass Pro Shops, built. Oh, my gosh. Bucket list item. I'm going to give him a plug. I'm going to try to help sell his product. I've never told you this on the way in the car, Patrick.
Yep, yep.
I'm enamored by this guy and the over-serving quality and Bass Pro, the story. I have my kids reading me Wikipedia. So when I picked her up from Carowinds, we dropped in the Cabela's there. Big Bass Pro bought Cabela's a couple years ago.
Yep.
These are experiential stores. I've never really paid that much attention to them. And Rowan wanted a Bass Pro hat, a pink trucker hat with the Bass Pro logo on it. $5.99, not on sale. That's value. I thought I was willing to spend $25. $5.99. That shows you about Johnny Morris. He ain't trying to rip people off if they're going to wear his brand and put his brand out there. Just like I'll give you a Roby hat.
Yeah.
But, man, go look up the story of Johnny Morris. Intriguing, intriguing story. I just had to say that. It is crazy. Started Tracker Boats. I didn't know that. Bought Triton Boats. I mean, he's got the lock on the freshwater boating industry. And so I start telling the story because I'm enamored by shark's teeth. I think we've always talked about me collecting shark's teeth. I used to collect quartz crystal. Spent all my days in the power lines, 100-degree days during the summer before I worked, looking for quartz crystal where the erosion had happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Tatum found an arrowhead. I'm really intrigued by arrowheads. Never really done much of that. She found one on Reagan's grandmother's farm in Illinois. He has a museum up there. It's American History Museum. And it talks about this building of America, the American Indian. I guarantee you, in this museum at Big Cedar, I guarantee you he's got 500,000 arrowheads. His collection of artifacts. It was the most intriguing. I've been to Washington. I go in a museum. I kind of get bored after a few minutes. It's cool. I like history and respect it. But, you know, I can't read all the stuff. I did not want to leave this museum. The Smithsonian has said this is one of the top museums in the world. And this guy's doing this.
Who knew?
This guy, Johnny Morris, does this just because he cares about the United States of America and loves. He had a Payne Stewart cabinet with Payne Stewart, the golfer.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he won the U.S. Open
in Pinehurst
right before his plane crash.
With the iconic statue, yeah.
And I think they engraved the U.S. Open trophy, and I think that was the last engraving they ever did on that U.S. Open trophy. Had all the winners forever. And I think they started doing a new trophy, and there's a U.S. That U.S. Open trophy is in that cabinet at Johnny Morris's place, Big Cedar.
The original.
It's unbelievable. We ate lunch at Arnie's barn, Arnold Palmer. He had the barn on his family property that he grew up in. The Amish tore it down, took it back up there, and rebuilt it. You're in Arnie's barn eating lunch. It's crazy.
That's unbelievable.
This guy is a true American. It's unbelievable. I mean, I talk about my dad. It's just what makes you excited, you know, makes you want to root for these people. So now I'm a Bass Pro fan. I better learn how to fish. I don't know. I think I've only caught one bass in my life. I'm going to have to add to the list.
You're more of a catfisher.
I like catfishing because you just throw it out and pop a soda and wrap the fishing line around the hook on the dock. And every now and then you pull it and see if you got something on there. That's how I fish. So, anyway, Patrick, what a great show.
Agreed.
Thanks for letting me ramble on this last segment.
Take it away.
Hey, God bless you. Listen. Do the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Have a wonderful Sunday. We hope you're smiling and having fun. Thanks for listening to the At Home with Roby Show.